What's up, everybody? It's Thursday, April the 16th, 2020, and this is episode 36 from the Anything Goes podcast. If you can tell, if you're listening closely, I have a big-ass smile on my face because I have breaking news for you guys. We, that's me and you, us, this family, this locomotive that we're building here, we're at over 1,000 plays in 36. This will be our 36th episode today. We're at over 1,000 plays, and this is just audio. This isn't including the visual. We've only had one visual episode, and the rest of these have been audio. It would not be possible without the support and the love from you guys. I am taken back because I did not think I would be here today at over 1,000 plays. I mean, I've watched us from zero to now. And when I got to about 800, I was like, oh, 1,000 is coming and it's here. And I appreciate you guys more than you will ever know. So if we've done 1,000, we're going to do 2. And then we're going to do 200,000. That's the goal. For real. Even if it's not on this platform anymore, we will grow and evolve. And I'm taking y'all with me. Y'all are coming. I hope y'all still are supporting. I hope everybody's had a great week so far. You know, we are at Thursday, which is Friday Eve. It's time to really relax and turn up and let your hair down because the weekend is coming. I hate it for the people who has to work on the weekend, especially now during a time like this. For one, it sucks when you really don't have anything to do but have downtime and go to work. That's what we're doing. We're going to work, going to the store, coming home, sitting on our asses, drinking, smoking, watching TV, on Facebook, raising hell, on Instagram, raising hell. That's all we can do. So to have to work on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you know, I feel for you guys, but you are essential. You're the shit, and we need you. We need you guys to continue to operate and to move forward. So I hope everyone's week has been amazing. If not, you know, I hope the weekend is better. You know, I hope your weekend last weekend was pretty dope and cool. You know, we're not going to talk about the elephant in the room today. We're switching gears. We're not going to dwell on this pandemic. You know, I think personally that it's starting to level off, I hope. You know, I haven't really been listening to the news that much pertaining this situation because I'm actually getting tired of being down and being paranoid and being afraid. You know, I'm still being cautious. I'm not doing anything reckless, and I hope you're not either. And just let me stop myself for a second. FYI to my black people, because you are my community. You know, y'all are my community. Y'all are my neighbors. Stop being ignorant, okay? Like, stop being ignorant. People are dying. People are getting sick. This shit is no game. If the governor, the president, whoever is telling us not to have large gatherings and people shouldn't be in groups of a, you know, up until a certain number, let's abide by that so we can get back to some type of normalcy. The more that we rebel, the more, what am I looking for? The more that we rebel, the longer that we'll be on lockdown. So I want people to really, really take this serious. You know, 90% of my neighborhood is black and brown. We have, you know, the other 10% is Caucasian, but you know, we're doing pretty good around these parts. You know, we're letting the kids mingle and, you know, it's about 5-6 max that's together, you know, so we're monitoring them very, very closely. But I need everybody else in these other neighborhoods and these other communities to relax, chill, stop all the dumbass fighting. Shouldn't be fighting about anything, especially if you have some business about yourself. Unless somebody is really, really threatening your ass, sit down. But even if they're doing that right now with what's going on, you don't need to be outside too much, and especially outside fighting. Like, that's just stupid as hell. So, you know, y'all chill, relax. And that right there is your coronavirus update. Like, I just want my people to chill. That's it. Chill. Let's get off of house arrest. Let's get off lockdown. You know, let's get out of the hole. You know, let's be able to go to dinner and out to the movies or whatever the case may be. So, you know, I hope people will adhere to these requests from me and from, you know, the government, so we can try to get our lives back on track. But that's all we're going to talk about as far as the coronavirus. We're off that. Speaking of last weekend, though, we had a IG battle with two titans in hip-hop. When you think of New York, you think of both of these producers. You think of the RZA, who provided the sound for Wu-Tang, and still does. And you had DJ Premier, who is the sound of New York, that boom bap sound. Premier, he's been on, he's produced for Nas. He was on It Was Written, I Am, Illmatic. He produced for Jay. It was on Reasonable Doubt. And the RZA, of course, Iron Man, The Purple Tape, 36 Chambers, Supreme Clientele, Liquid Swords. I could keep going. You know, these two put on a show. They put on a battle that is a moment in history. It's not just a moment in hip-hop history. It's a moment in history. When I look at the RZA, as I told you guys on last week, I think people were sleeping on him. This dude provided the sound of a legendary group. We're talking about 9+ guys that he was producing, making that sound gritty, gully, you know, in just fresh out the basement. We don't need it to be mixed or mastered. That's what Wu was. They were rugged. When they hit the scene, it was like something we've never seen before. I was a little one, you know, when they hit mainstream. And I'm like, man, you know, this is New York. I thought Wu-Tang represented New York perfectly, especially in the 90s. They embodied what New York rappers were, for real. And, man, I knew the RZA was going to bring it, and he did. He brought it to Premier, and Premier bought it back, man. You know, when Premier did, when he dropped Nas's Like, I lost my shit. When RZA dropped Triumph from Wu-Tang, I lost my shit. You know, when he dropped Ice Cream, you know, when Premier dropped 10 Crack Commandments, you know, they put on a show. And all of your favorite lyricists, Black Thoughts, Nas, they were watching with us. You get what I'm saying? I had a fan moment when Nas entered the live. I definitely shouted that nigga out. I'm like, yo, this is the greatest of all time. You know, I turned into a legitimate fan, a hip-hop fan. I think he's the greatest of all time. These are two of the greatest producers, greatest DJs of all time. And they put on a show that will be remembered forever, you know, and that topped my weekend. That made all of the bullshit that we've been subjected to, it made it go away for a few hours. And then I turned around the next day. I want to say Sunday or Monday, I made the playlist. It's on Apple Music. And I've shared it to my Facebook page. So, you know, you go to my Facebook page, find the playlist. You can download it. I added some songs to it because they left some tracks off that I love. You know, the RZA, he didn't play Shadowboxing. That's one of my favorite, songs from Wu-Tang of all time. And that's the GZA and Method Man. You know, I love that record. So I had to add that to it. Unorthodox by Joey Badass. I love that beat. And, you know, Premier did that. You feel me? So I definitely got caught up in the moment. I'm still listening to my playlist now. You get what I'm saying? So that did what it was supposed to do. Seriously, I had a smile the entire time. There were some audio problems at first. They worked them out, and we were in for a show. And I'll have to say, I think this was the best one. This was the best one. The Scott Storch battle was pretty dope as well. Him and Manny Fresh, but this one here, it embodied what hip hop was all about, because you went to the Mecca, and both of those producers are from the Mecca. They're from different parts of New York, but that sound, they both provided that sound. RZA did the gritty shit, and Premier did that boom bap, and it combined to make it a moment in history, a moment in time. So, you know, go back to it. I'm pretty sure it's on YouTube now, maybe even on Daily Motion or something like that. But go check it out. You won't be disappointed, for real. Make sure that your phone battery is charged at 100%. Get you some wine, some liquor, and some weed, or whatever the case may be, and enjoy yourself. Listen to it tonight. So, we're going to keep it moving. Coming up this weekend, we have a 10-part docuseries, and it's titled The Last Dance. And this is pertaining to the 97-98 Chicago Bulls team. You know, that year they beat the Jazz 4-2. That series is known for the final shot. The last shot Michael Jordan ever took in a Chicago Bulls uniform. Did he push off on Byron Russell? Yeah, he did. Was it a good no call? It was. We have probably one of the most iconic sports photos right there. Game 6, Utah, Michael Jordan, final shot, drills it. So this docuseries, it'll be premiering on Sunday, April the 19th on ESPN. And it's going to chronicle that last year and how trying and challenging it was. Michael Jordan has come out and said, this is going to make me look like a bad guy. But in all actuality, if you follow sports, if you follow the Chicago Bulls, you know Jerry Reinsdorf and what's the other guy's name? Jerry Krause. Those two were heading the front office, and they pretty much derailed the dynasty before we even could get a sniff of whether or not they could do 4 or 5 in a row. Because remember, this was their second three-peat. They won 91, 92, 93. Jordan retires. He steps away. He goes, you know, he does baseball, comes back. They win 96, 97, 98. 99 was the lockout year, so I think they only played 50 games. If I was a betting man and that team stayed together, I say that they probably win 40 games that year, and they win a championship. So they would have won 4 in a row. But we're about to see why they didn't win four in a row. So, you know, we get to see the greatest of all time. To me, the greatest duo of all time is Jordan and Pippen, led by one of the greatest, if not the greatest, coach in sports history, Phil Jackson. Not just in the NBA, but in all of sports, Phil Jackson is, he's the Zen master. So we get to see the behind the curtains, what happened, why did this team break up, what, maybe 2-3 years too soon? And if you recall, after this team is broken up, it is shit. It's shit. It's shit. The Bulls were no more. It was a disgrace. But we're about to find out why. And I don't know about you, but I'll be tuned in on Sunday. I think they probably would have won. I know they would have. They would have won in 99. Would they have won in 2000? They would have, because I would imagine that Phil would have still been with Chicago. He wouldn't have went to L.A. And Phil Jackson was told that, I don't care if you win 82 games this year, we're not bringing you back. We're not bringing the team back. Well, we're not bringing you back. And Michael Jordan said, well, if y'all aren't bringing Phil back, I'm not coming back. So at that moment, when the greatest of all time, because he was perceived as the GOAT even then, when he tells me that he's going to leave because of something that I'm not willing to do, that's when I have to capitulate and do what's needed to ensure that we keep winning championships and we keep this man here. I think it was a lot of power struggles going on. Of course, Phil probably wanted to keep his fingerprints all over that team, which he should. He won 5 titles up until that point. 5 as a coach. We three-peated. We just went back to back. We're going to three-peat again. Because if you think about it, and I want people to really, really, you know, take your emotions out of it. When did we ever think they weren't going to win the title? Seriously, I never feared Chicago not winning, especially when I started to understand the game more as I got a little older. I'm like, oh, they're not losing. I love the Supersonics. I love Gary Payton, for one. He was a great trash talker, but I didn't think they had a chance. In the 2 years that the Jazz went back to, you know, when they went back to back, 97-98, good series, competitive, but no. The only time that the Bulls really got pushed to their limit was that last title run, but it was against the Indiana Pacers. That Pacers team was loaded. Reggie Miller, Jalen Rose, Travis Best, the Davis brothers, you know, even the, well, cousins, whatever you want to call them. They weren't related, but they both were, you know, last name Davis, Dale and Antonio, Rick Smits, Chris Mullin. They took them to 7 games. So, you know, this is going to be interesting. Everybody tune in Sunday, April 19th, ESPN. I think we're going to be in for a treat. So, speaking of treats, I got to shout out my homegirl, Tiffany Ward. She is linking up with Be Fancy Cocktails. You know, Be Fancy is B-F-A-N-C-I on Facebook. And this Saturday, the 18th, they are cooking and making drinks. So, you know, Tip, she's coming up from Charlotte. You know, she's doing her thing down there, cooking food, selling them, selling out. She's selling out this weekend, you know. So by the end of today, you need to inbox her, Tiffany Ward, Facebook, put your order in, and take it from there. Whatever she tell you to do, do it. Make sure you support, you know, this is the city's own. She's down in Charlotte, but she's from the Tray. It's my little homie. I'm co-signing her, putting my stamp of approval on anything that she's doing. So I'm going to share the menu to my Facebook page. See what you want. Order it and enjoy yourself. Support the hustlers and the grinders, especially now. We need it more than ever. So salute to Tiffany. Salute to Be Fancy Cocktails. Y'all know how she do. Mobile bartending, specialty drinks, and she will do your event for you. She's dope. Excuse my voice. I'm losing my voice. I apologize. Let me take a sip of water. I can't shout out this water company because, well, I'll tell you one day. Soon. But moving right along, after you finish eating from Tiffany and getting your drink from Be Fancy Cocktails, y'all know to holler at my brother Reginald Glenn. Y'all do know that, right? Y'all do know to holler at Reggie. Reginald Glenn on Facebook, RGFitness34 on Instagram. He's doing virtual workouts. He'll probably meet up with you. If you don't want to do the virtual workout, probably he'll meet up with you. Y'all can do the track. Y'all can do some push-ups or whatever the case may be. Just know that my brother's going to get you right. Has a gym on Patterson Avenue in Winston-Salem. And then he has one in Jamestown, High Point. So get Adam. He will feed your mind, body. He will help you get those losses that you've been wanting, well, those pounds that you've been wanting to. Let me chill. The pounds that you've been wanting to shed, my boy will get those up off you, okay? And then you can get the gains as well. So hit up my brother, Reginald Glenn on Facebook, RGFitness34 on Instagram, and he'll get you right. Let him know that his brother Street sent you. He might give you something off. I doubt it, but just let him know that I recommended him for you, okay? Moving right along, and this right here is disturbing, and it ties into what I really, really want to convey today and talk about. And, you know, you got to excuse me for being tongue-tied. I'm sorry. I got ahead of myself, but NBA Youngboy versus Kodak Black. And this is disheartening because maybe an episode or two ago, I talked about both of these guys being at the top of the hip-hop game for the age group. They are very similar. They are interchangeable. One of them gets locked up, the other one comes home. He's out for a while. He's out for a while. One of them gets locked back up. And it seems like right now, Kodak is going to be locked down. I think they said 4 years. You know, hopefully he doesn't have to do the whole four, but, you know, it is what it is. You know, I don't want to see anybody locked up. You know, I'm not from that type of environment to where prison is cool, jail is cool. No, you want everybody home unless they're just a menace to society. You know, if you out here killing babies and, you know, raping people, yeah, you need to sit the fuck down. But, you know, for the most part, you definitely don't want to see anybody young and black or black, period, behind the walls. Unless, like I said, they're just doing a whole bunch of ruthless, demonic shit. So we had a situation happen where NBA Youngboy, I guess he's dating Floyd Mayweather's daughter, Yaya. He called her his wife, you know, in the Instagram video that I seen, which is funny. You know what I'm saying? Because I remember being that young and, you know, oh, that's wifey right there. You know what I'm saying? Even now, you know, you'll call somebody your wife or a lady will call a guy her husband and have no ring, have no real commitment. But the situation happened where Yaya, she stabbed. It was either one of NBA Youngboy's baby mamas or it's just somebody that he's involved with. She stabbed the girl. Now she's facing up to 99 years in prison. Kodak Black called him a snitch. He chimed in from, you know, from prison, talking shit like, boy, you know, you cooperating, because of, it's how things were worded in the police report. You know, it made it seem like NBA Youngboy told on Yaya, which wasn't the case. So Kodak Black, to stay relevant, which nothing is wrong with that, he chimed in. You know, and these two, I thought they had like a mutual respect for each other. I thought that, you know, these two were cool, actually, you know what I'm saying? But I guess shit happens, things change. When you're sitting behind the wall, you're probably irritated, aggravated. You're watching this dude drop an album. You're watching the praise that he's getting. And you may feel like he's surpassing you. We got Kodak first, followed by Youngboy. So Kodak, of course, is like, you my son. And Youngboy ain't going for that. You know, so they're going back and forth. They're battling, talking shit. You got, who is it? Jack Boy. One of Kodak homeboys, you know, he's been going viral, talking shit, holding his boy down, as you should. I don't want to see these two get violent. I don't want to see the crews get violent. I hope they can piece it up, or they can just learn how to coexist, you know, without crossing paths. But 9 times out of 10, they're going to end up being in the same place eventually, or the crews are going to end up being in the same place, because that's just how shit happens. You know, all them niggas are street niggas. So they're going to eventually be in the same place. Shit gonna go down. Let's just hope there's no casualties. But my biggest takeaway, and the question that I have for everyone today, is, do I know how to love you? Seriously. Do I know how to love you? This man called this girl his wife. But he has her in a situation to where she feels like she has to defend herself, defend her honor, defend what she feels is hers, which is Youngboy, from another woman. That's not love. That's not love at all. When you love someone, and before I even say that, do we really even know what love is? We have to ask ourselves that. Because when you love someone, you wouldn't have them out here making life-altering decisions, acting off impulse behind something that you created. That's not love. So do I really know how to love you? When I hurt you, am I apologizing? And when I apologize, do I mean it sincerely? Or am I just saying this to sugarcoat it? To put a Band-Aid over what we're going through right now, because I don't want to argue. I just want us to be all right. I want to deflect it. Or I just don't want to deal with this situation, this issue. And this goes for both male and female. But I can only speak from the male perspective. I've never been a woman, so I can only speak for men. Do I have your best interests at heart? When I'm wrong, do I admit it? Can I look myself in the mirror and say, hey, I'm treating her right? I'm holding her down. That's my queen. That's my lady. I won't do anything to intentionally hurt her. You know, because it's one thing to hurt a person and to get beyond it, but it's another thing to hurt a person and then you just continuously hurt them. That's not cool. That's not love. That's not a changed behavior. I don't know how to love you because I've never been properly loved. That woman that said she loved me, she hurt me. Or when things got tough and rough, she left me high and dry. Now I'm mad. So now I meet you. Looking good. Brown skin, dark skin, light skin, thick or slim, whatever your preference is. And instead of me loving you, I'm treating you like you're my property. Because I don't want you to leave me like she left me. She hurt me. She left a hole in my heart. I bounced back. Or at least I thought I did. You see how this shit go? I thought I bounced back. I thought I was over it. I thought I found my next lady. I thought I was healed. And now I'm walking into another relationship, and I'm not. We straight for the first couple months. We might even be good for the first year. But now I'm overprotective. Now when you don't answer the phone, I'm tripping, I'm yelling, I'm screaming. I might even get mad enough to where I say some disrespectful shit. I've been there. I've been there. I've done that. I've called a woman out of her name. I was mad. I was upset. That ain't love. I don't want you to go nowhere without me. Who you talking to? What y'all talking about? What your homegirl talking about? She a hoe. You don't need to be with her. It was all good just a year ago though, bro. Or a couple months ago, it was cool. But see, it was never cool. I was just caught up in the moment. My insecure ass ain't healed from the last situation. And now I'm here with you, and I don't want to lose you. But I don't know how to love you properly. What's your love language? Am I feeding your spirit? Am I telling you you're beautiful every day? And if I'm telling you you're beautiful every day, do I mean it? Am I putting in the necessary time? We taking trips, we going on dates. Am I still dating you? Or has it been 3 years now and it's like, fuck it, I got her. I ain't got to do none of that. I can only speak from a man's perspective. I've been on both ends of this spectrum. I've been hurt. And I've hurt people. I've hurt women. I wasn't loved properly, so guess what? I don't know how to love you properly. You see, now we in the era of saying, yo, this is toxic. That's toxic. You know what's the most toxic thing in the world? Fake love. Me holding on to you because I know how dope you are. I know how special you are. I know I can't love you properly. I don't know how to, but I don't want the next man to come to do that, to show you everything that you know you deserve. That's a tough conversation to have. I've had it before, y'all. I've said that shit. Like, I don't want you to leave me because the next nigga gonna come and he gonna see how dope you are and you gonna be gone. But you know what? I needed that shit to happen. I needed that. Because sometimes you're not doing everything right. Even though you think you are you really in tune with your partner? Are you listening to them? Do you hear what they need from you? Sometimes we don't hear them. And it's a catch-22. Because sometimes people just, they don't get it. They don't understand you. I could be doing everything right, and it's something that I'm not doing, that I'm doing wrong. Tell me I'm doing it wrong. Don't just leave me. Tell me. Because if you don't tell me, guess what? When we break up, the next woman has to deal with that insecure ass man. Do I know how to love you? No, because I was never taught how to love. And I can't love you if I don't love myself. That's the truth. I have to love me first. You know what that means? That means that I have to put myself first. Before I love you, before I elevate you to this throne, to this realm, I have to first elevate myself, my mental, my conscience, my heart. It all has to be lock and key. It has to be uniform. How can I love you when I don't love me? See, we got it backwards. I had to learn this myself. I don't want to make this about me, but I can only talk about me. I wouldn't dare get on here and talk about other people. I can just talk about me. I could put you before me every day. I've done it. I could put you before me every day, every minute of the day. I'm okay if she's okay. You okay? I'm okay. But that's bullshit, though. Because I might be dying inside over here. But I'm trying to make you happy. I'm putting you, your happiness before mine. This isn't an us thing. And we're supposed to be a unit. We're supposed to be like that. We're supposed to be tight. You're supposed to be my best friend. But this isn't us. This is about you. I want to make you so happy that I'll go broke making you happy. I'll drive myself crazy making you happy. I will hurt. I will stress. I will develop anxiety to make you happy. And if you're that lady, or, you know, if it's coming from a lady's perspective and you're that man, leave me or that person alone, because we're showing you that we don't love ourselves. But you know what is so crazy? Because people are so selfish that they'll realize that, like, this person will do everything they can to make me happy and to make me laugh and to make me smile and to make sure I don't go without, that they forget about your well-being. They don't care because now they're content. They have the upper hand. They're okay. You're taking care of them. But they fail to realize and they neglect to realize that you're not taking care of the most important person in your life, which is you. I can only love you when I put myself first. My mental health is good. My physical health is good. I'm making the money that I want to make. I'm not killing myself out here trying to make ends meet. I'm comfortable. if I don't love myself, if I don't put me first, I can never love you. Not the right way. I'm going to be jealous. I'm going to be insecure. I'm going to be wondering. I'm not going to be able to sleep at night. I'm wondering what you out here doing. No one taught me how to love properly because no one loved me properly. And that's the truth. That's a fact. This love shit is the most addictive drug ever. Only challenged by power, corruption, and money. And now social media. So you got a big five. I can't run that back. I'm on the road. Y'all gonna have to do it yourself. The five deadly sins right there for this era. I just named them. Run it back. That's just how it go. Love can be corrupt. You holding on to it. Why? We're not holding on to the good people. We let them go. We let them walk away. We hold on to the bad ones. We hold on to the people that don't give a damn about us. Make you cry every day. Call you a bitch. Call you a hoe. Call you a slut. Put their hands on you. You feel like you can change that person. A woman feel like she can change that man. A man feels like I can change that woman. I can turn her into what I want them and need them to be. It's not in the cards for them. And it's okay. You're loving the devil more than you love yourself. And yes, I'm calling them devils because they're hurting you. And they mean you no good. That's the devil right there. He means you no good. He comes to seek and destroy. And that's what some of your spouses are doing to you right now. And you don't even know it. A man's biggest tool is his dick and manipulation. A woman's biggest tool is her pussy and manipulation. I can manipulate you through my dick. Trust me. I can manipulate you with my words. My tongue is the second most powerful thing on my body. Followed by a little smile. Look you in your eyes, tell you I love you. Same time, I can spit on you and smack you around. And I'm not talking about me because I don't believe in hitting on women. And to hell with anybody that does and that justifies it. I'm talking to y'all. I'm talking to my supporters. We having a conversation. I hope I'm not coming off preachy. I hope I don't lose none of y'all after tonight. But I gotta keep it real. You see, it's cool. We say I love you all the time. But am I loving you properly? What am I doing to your mental? Because if I'm breaking you down mentally, I'm breaking you down physically. I don't want nobody else to want you. You mine. I don't give a damn how you looking. Do I know how to love you? No. I don't, because nobody ever taught me what love was. Love ain't when I have you up at night crying, guessing. Trying to figure out what I got going on. Why aren't I there with you sleeping? Why aren't I there with you making sure that you're okay? Why aren't I answering those questions? Why am I not putting you on this pedestal that you put me on? You see, the good guy, you let him go. The good girl, we let her go. We get these toxic ass people who don't have their shit together. And we see it. They got mommy and daddy issues. Niggas hate women, but love them in the same breath. Women hate men so much that they out here giving their bodies away for free. Just because you tell her she pretty, she dropping it for you. How can I love you when I don't love myself, my nigga? Are you looking in the mirror? Are you reevaluating who you are? You got a queen right there. She loves you. She'll do anything for you. You see it. Let her go right now. Let her get herself together. Or, nigga, you help her along the way. Y'all both get yourselves together as a tandem. Sit down and have them conversations. Every time we talk, it ain't got to be about us having sex and fucking. We ain't got to do none of that. How do we build this empire, get to the money, and be happy? It's just us. And I'm not telling y'all nothing that I don't know or I haven't been through or I'm not going through my damn self. I gotta choose me before I choose to love you, before I choose to try to make you my wife, before she chooses to try to have your baby and make you her husband. We gotta first learn how to properly love. But first and foremost, man, we gotta love ourselves. To the women that's been crying and shedding them tears because old boy treating you like shit, or he hitting on you, or he degrading you. It's cool to walk away, baby. You fine. Start over. Don't stay in that bullshit. You don't need him. To the man that's doing everything he can to make that woman smile, to make her happy, not loving himself, letting his health go to crap, his mental, shot to pieces. She don't care. She good. Long as she straight, she ain't caring about your mental. She not rubbing your back telling you it's going to be all right. Leave her alone, bro. Somebody will appreciate it later on. Leave her and get yourself together. It's okay. Can't nobody judge you for that. We not judging you. And even if people are, to hell with them. You got to look yourself in the mirror every day, whether you a man or a woman. You have to look yourself in the mirror every day, and you got to love what you see. If you don't, you'll never be able to fully love anybody because you're going to love them more than you love yourself. We got to stop trying to find love in other people, and we got to find that inner peace on the inside. And we gotta roll with the motherfucking punches. That's what we have to do. Do I know how to love you? If I had to answer that question, I'd say no, but I'm learning. I'm gonna learn your love language. I seen that be reposted, you know, a couple days ago. I got it in my phone. Let's learn ourselves, people. Let's stop putting other people before us. And then when you see somebody doing that, if your intentions aren't pure and good, don't let them put you before them. Walk away. Because at the end of the day, you're going to do them more harm than good by holding on to them. I can't love you if I don't love myself first. But I want y'all to know, everybody that's listening to me, I love y'all. It's my word. And I appreciate the support. We had over 1,000 listens, 1,000 plays, yo. This our 36th episode. We here. I hope I didn't preach a sermon, but it was on me, and I had to let that out. If you got somebody and you love them, work at it. Ain't nobody perfect. Nothing's perfect. Every day not going to be good. But if she worth it or if he's worth it, stick with it. But remember, I'm telling you first, love yourself. Put you first. Make sure you're okay. Make sure your mental is straight. And then you can love somebody else. Until then, it's not going to work. And it's not worth it. And that shit is toxic. And it's turning into a deadly ass sin. So, y'all take what I said, man. Take it with a grain of salt. Take it with a grain of salt. You can be mad at me. Or you can use it to your advantage. But I want everybody that's listening to me to be safe. You know, take the necessary precautions you have to, whether you want to put on gloves or a mask, do you? We living in a time right now where we don't know what's going to happen. So if you want to be cautious as hell, if you just want to stay in the house, it's your prerogative. Do that. But also make sure that you're keeping tabs on your mental, okay? Still, take a step back, put your phone down, log out of your social media, go on do not disturb, or just ignore people if you need to. Go for a walk, go for a ride, relax, get your mind right. We coming into the weekend, so let's have a good time as much as we can. But y'all be safe, have fun. And I'll holler at you next week, all right? I'm out.